Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
So ask questions, add more value, bring more to the conversations.
Today's guest is Nina Farib. Nina walks us through her career pivots, how she's adapted to fast-changing markets, and the choices that helped her move from video production into building an effective presence online. We'll hear practical thinking on spotting when to pivot, how to use AI without losing your authenticity, and simple routines that make LinkedIn a place for real relationships, not noise. Listen in for concrete strategies you can use right away, a consistent commenting practice that builds visibility, ways to find and nurture the right online community, and questions to ask yourself when choosing where to invest your time. If you want to get better at showing up online and connecting with ideal clients, this conversation with Nina is full of actionable ideas. Now let's welcome Nina Farib. Nina is a LinkedIn featured brand builder and a content and engagement strategist for creators, coaches, and consultants. She collaborates with service-based entrepreneurs to develop strategies and create digital content that enables them to grow organically on LinkedIn. Nina is a recovering producer and documentary filmmaker. She's seen it all from the early days on independent features to national TV commercials, corporate mega shows, and Emmy award-winning documentaries, including one she produced called Abraham's Children. Nina is from Switzerland, and her owner is an 11-pound dachshund mix who has her well-trained. Nina, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Oh, a pleasure. So since you were last on the show, you had a major career pivot, which you were last on the show in 2022. That was 3 years ago.
Ages.
Yeah, it seems like it. A lot has happened since then. Right. And clearly, a lot has happened to you.
Yep.
So maybe we could start off by hearing a little bit about your career journey in general, and then we can talk about the pivot that's happened in the last 3 years.
Absolutely. And I mean, looking at the whole career, I mean, at my tender age, you know, the pivot 3 years ago doesn't seem that massive because it was, I'm still sitting at my desk staring at my computer. So, I mean, you know, in general, you know, having been in business with my company for nearly 30 years, I'll be incorporated next fall for 30 years. So it's been quite the journey running from being a filmmaker, which was, you know, as much a desk job as it was also a very physical job being on sets, you know, especially with documentaries and corporate video, a lot of travel involved, a lot of, you know, time away from home, and then pivoting into becoming a online space coach, which happened in the 2017-18-ish. And then just, you know, for all of us who do that big transition into, I mean, I've always worked for myself, but it's different working for yourself in corporate than working for yourself. So that was, I would say, probably one of the biggest pivots. I mean, there were pivots like, you know, surviving the bubble burst, surviving 9/11, which impacted my business back then severely, impacting the housing crisis, you know, surviving the housing crisis. But the pivot from, you know, being in that sort of world that had very, very set rules, which can be very restricting, but at the same time, you kind of know what you're doing, who you're doing it from, and why you're doing it, and you know what your pay is going to be, to becoming a coach, which is such a malleable affair. That was a ginormous pivot, which I feel I'm still in it. And then 3 years ago, which was just very simply, you know, the first pivot was into from, you know, working with corporates and documentaries into working as a video marketer, which seemed a logical next step as filmmaker, to then realize, you know, that anybody with a you know, iPhone or a smartphone in their back pocket, which was the reason why I did the pivot in the first place, now was also creating videos and didn't really need instructions anymore. And it was much more helpful to work with people on a bigger conversation around how to show up organically and attract ideal clients online in the online space. And in my case, specifically LinkedIn.
Yeah. So the marketplace, as you've mentioned, the marketplace changes.
Yep.
Sometimes it's due to major, you know, major external circumstances that we have no control over, like 9/11 or the housing crisis. And sometimes it's due to changes within our industry.
Yep.
Like the technological changes that enable kind of everyday people to make videos.
Exactly.
I'm curious to know, are there techniques that you use to listen to the changes that are taking place, or maybe changes that you think are going to be taking place, that kind of prime you to think about a pivot?
Yeah, it is an excellent question. I think especially now where everything is AI, you know, it certainly is a conversation I'm having with myself and my, you know, mastermind buddies, is like, where do we pivot and run off of the next new shiny thing? And where do we stay true to our guns? And where is that happy medium, right? Is it like, for instance, with AI, like LinkedIn and AI is a huge topic, but it can be addressed in many different ways. How do I choose to address it? Also being very aware of the fact that I'm not 30 or 40 even anymore, or 50 for that matter. And I also don't want to be seen as the old geezer in the corner. So, and I think that's also something that if you are coming out of a full corporate career, is something that you have to kind of keep an eye out on, that you are keeping with the times without making yourself crazy. Because in the end, very often, we are one woman or one man or one them shows. So we need to also, you know, make sure that we don't poof out our energy in directions that are not helpful. So, you know, there's definitely, I'm on LinkedIn. So there's definitely, I'm listening to a lot of, you know, the LinkedIn, you know, the big wigs. I'm probably a half big wig, to see what they're talking about and how they're positioning themselves, and just sort of keeping that conversation going and making sure I'm not making myself crazy with it, but I'm also not ignoring it. And I think that is, and then, you know, the whole AI conversation, it just goes all over your entire life, right? Because it's in your phone, it's in your Alexa, in your living room. It is in every interaction, basically, you're having with anything that's plugged into a socket these days, or maybe even not if it's cordless. So, you know, but there is, it's just so pervasive. You have to be alert and aware of it.
Yeah, I would say AI is probably one of the biggest topics in our community right now, because most people in our community are now using AI in some way, shape, or form to help them in their own business. Yep. And they're also trying to anticipate how the use of AI is going to impact the need from their ideal clients and how it may impact their business in the future, either with some limits where business may suddenly fall off, or maybe there may be some new opportunities they can tap into because of AI. So everybody's trying to figure out what's going on, where are the threats, where are the opportunities, and when do I need to pivot?
Yep. Yeah. And I think sometimes it's enough to incorporate it into your messaging, so it signals that you are aware of it, more so than you're running off to the next shiny thing, right? So I think that can already make a big difference, is to acknowledge the fact that.
Right. And then when it comes to LinkedIn, which is also a big topic in our community, because our community is corporate refugees. So these are all professionals who are selling their expertise. And LinkedIn is the primary social media channel.
Absolutely.
Where they connect with their ideal clients, whether their clients are corporate or they're more individual clients. You know, people are trying to figure out how best to use LinkedIn, how people can learn about them, how they can connect with people. And they're also trying to figure out when and where to use AI with LinkedIn.
Yep. that is a huge conversation. And LinkedIn has certainly pivoted hugely just in the last 7 to 8 months. Like, what was the gold standard for AI usage or not in February of this year is completely different from what is happening now, October, November, into December of this year, right? So the LinkedIn itself is rapidly, embrace is maybe a little hard, like a little bit of a strong word, but they are definitely nodding to AI. I mean, any content created on LinkedIn that is AI has over doubled. It's now, I think, over 40% of any kind of LinkedIn content has been touched by AI. Anything from creation of posts to commenting to any kind of interactions.
Right. So, you know, given the backdrop of consultants and coaches being overwhelmed by social media, trying to figure out what to do with AI, what I'm seeing is a lot of people I know what they don't want to do on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Which I think you might describe as bro marketing tactics.
Yep.
Right. What they're looking to do is have meaningful connections with people.
Yep.
What's an especially good strategy on LinkedIn for professionals that have a deep bench of expertise?
I think it's actually really good news. So with this massive pivot, what has happened on LinkedIn is in the last half a year is that LinkedIn is no longer a social graph. So it's no longer interested in who your connections are and how important they are or how many of them you have. It's much more focused on what is your content that you're putting out and how do you interact with it and other content. So there's one shift from social graph to an interest graph, as they call it. There's also a shift from content creation to actual engagement. So commenting is no longer a nice to have on LinkedIn. It's actually the driver of your health on LinkedIn. So the algorithm, sure, you need content so you can reciprocate and comment on others and people can comment on you, but a really smart and consistent is like the biggest word on LinkedIn, consistent commenting practice is the best thing you can do for yourself. You can get away with posting only one time a week. A lot of people that I know do, and they do, you know, get clients through LinkedIn with posting only once a week, but they're very prolific at commenting. So the commenting game is now sort of where the focus and where the power lies within LinkedIn. So as for a tactic, comment, be it on people that are in your ecosystem, like your direct pals, friends, mastermind buddies, community people, but also, you know, I always say I turned off both Instagram and Facebook on my phone. And all of a sudden I had like, you know, all this doom scrolling credit, time credit, because I wasn't on those apps anymore. So I'm like, great, let me take some of it and put it towards LinkedIn. And I was like, oh my God, this is so freaking boring. But you know, you can on LinkedIn do the doom scrolling. But what I do is I strategically look up certain people. So I have my list of 25. My list of 25 are sort of clients or bigwigs that I'm following. I make sure that I hit them up every week in one way or another, mostly with comments. If they're not big posters, I might endorse them or do another way of, you know, letting them know that I exist and I'm in their ecosystem. And then I also just go out and look at who else is having a conversation similar to mine and start commenting on their posts. What I don't do is I don't go to other people who do what I do and start commenting there. A lot of people use that as a tactic. I find that to go, and this is just me, I feel that goes very close to bro marketing tactics. I don't appreciate if other LinkedIn experts who maybe also run a membership start commenting on my stuff and invite my people into their orbit. I think that's just distasteful. So I won't do the same thing to other people. But there's so many people out there who are maybe tangentially in your area that would be, you know, grateful for you to add, you know, more depth and value to their conversations they're having.
You know, I think it's a great strategy. And the whole idea, I'm glad to hear that LinkedIn is basically rewarding you for commenting, mm-hmm. right? Because commenting is what actually leads to meaningful connections and meaningful interactions.
Yep.
And that is how you start. Like if you were in a physical room with somebody, you would start to listen and comment on what they're saying, which is how you develop a relationship. So I'm glad to hear that LinkedIn is actually rewarding you for positive human behavior.
Yes, exactly. Humanizing the conversation. And I mean, you just see it in the algorithm. Just if you just look at the math of it, a post that has more comments than it has likes gets bubbled up to more people in the feed than one that has the reverse. So you would always think that, like, you know, the math goes impressions, then likes, then comments, and that's no longer the case. So a post that has lots of comments and lots of threads. So, you know, if you get a comment, I always say to my people in my group, if you get a comment gifted by someone else, make sure you go in and answer to that comment. And even do so to, you never want to stop the conversation. You want to continue the conversation. So ask questions, add more value, bring more to the conversation. So, and at mention the author, super important, be it the author of a comment on your, you know, post or just when you're commenting on a post in general. So the author sees, because otherwise, you know, there's a billion people on LinkedIn and there's a gazillion things going on. In the end, it's still a social media platform. So we want to make sure that what the time and expertise and the commitment we're making to LinkedIn is actually being seen. So it's really important to at mention whom you're talking to, address the people you're talking to.
Yeah. Going back to what you said about identifying some number of people that you're trying to follow and interact with on a regular basis and be consistent about it. Are there techniques you can use in the LinkedIn platform so that those people that you've identified show up relatively easily, or do you have to just maintain a separate list and, you know, and search for their profile and see what they posted?
Yeah. So, I mean, I look for all my people organically. We do, for instance, so I run an engagement group and we very much are aware of the fact that LinkedIn doesn't allow pods. We're not a pod. We're an engagement group. It's a difference. We never share links to our posts. We only announce that we have posted and then organically go and look for the post that person said, I've posted today, or I have posted, just so the algorithm sees that we're not just rotely following, you know, links and commenting. There's a couple of things you can do. LinkedIn is not that great in letting you organize yourself on LinkedIn. So, you know, I have 10,000 followers and they're all over the frickin' place. It's a, you know, scroll, scroll, scroll list. I could export it at 10,000. It's too many, but I mean, I could if I had a VA who did nothing else, but I don't. So, you know, I actually just keep an Excel spreadsheet. I mean, I do have a CRM and I hate it. So I use an Excel spreadsheet. And I just, when somebody's commented and shows any kind of, like, you know, there's a pulse, this is somebody who could be interested in what I have to offer. This is somebody who talks about something that's interesting, because, you know, the inspirational part, you know, is so important too, because as you are on LinkedIn commenting on other people's content, you're reading their content, you're going like, well, this is really cool thought. This is a really cool way of talking about this topic. This is a really nice way of displaying, you know, so it's visually appealing how to do a post. This is a great graphic. This is a great carousel. So there's this really, and this is what I love about our community, is that there's so much, yes, there's the accountability part. Yes, there's the support part. Yes, there's the learning part. But in the end, what really lights people up like nothing else when they join us is the inspiration they're getting out of commenting and seeing what everybody else is doing. And then to get back to your question, within those ecosystems or these communities, we all have our best buddies. So it's like, okay, so I'm regularly commenting on Tiffany's content. I love her content. It's really cool. Who else is interacting with Tiffany? Huh, there's some interesting people there. So that's one way of sort of looking further down the pike. And then in, you know, in my case, I get a lot of new requests every week. That alone for me is a trove of, you know, deeper dives and, you know, who's interesting to put on my list of further commenting.
Yeah. So you've actually touched on something else that I wanted to ask you about, which is in this interaction, you've talked about ways to interact, ways to collaborate, ways to connect with people around ideas and thoughts. Mm-hmm. And clearly community is something that's important to you. You run a community, as I do. Could you just share a little bit more about how community collaboration and peer support have played a role in your own growth?
I mean, I can't emphasize enough how important all of that is. You know, when you are in a, you know, I mean, so my business is now nearly 30 years old. The first 19 years, I was sitting in my office in a silo by myself in a world that was all in real life. If I had lunch with another girlfriend who also ran a production company once every 2 months, that was my mastermind. That was my interaction. That was it. And, you know, networking events here and there, but, you know, it was hit or miss with who was there. Everybody's trying to sell everybody. And then I started this whole online thing. And all of a sudden, there's like, wow, we now have Zoom. We now can meet as a group, no matter, like, I now ping pong back and forth between Switzerland, where my family is, and New York. And I keep up everything, right? Because it doesn't matter where I am. I'm just working evenings there. And it's all of a sudden, there is like this community that you have access to. And I'm no longer doing it alone. I'm no longer in a silo. I'm no longer throwing spaghetti at the wall. I now have actual real people that I can interact with. And then, you know, one step up, running your own community or being part of, I'm part of a couple of really awesome communities. It just really, it ties you in. So you're not doing it alone. You're not figuring out everything from scratch. You have, again, as I mentioned before, you have the accountability, you have the support, you have the learning, but you also have that inspiration of, you know, keep going. And I think it's really important that, you know, people not only share all their wins, and we all love sharing our wins, and most communities have like the win channel where we all brag about all the great things in our lives. But I think it's also really kind of important to have the failure channel, not that we want to harp on it, but, you know, we all live and grow thanks to our successes and our failures, and sometimes more on our failures. So being in community, and you know, there's communities that are loose where there's 50, 100, 200 people in it. I've learned from my personal growth, I don't do well in communities that are massively huge. I don't really connect with people. I do best in communities of 30 to 100 people. That is my sweet spot. 30 is enough to have diversity. 100 is not too many. I still know more or less everybody. And that is a good size for me. And that's what I'm building. I mean, I'm at 50 now. I want to get to 150, you know, make up for some attrition there. Not that it happens a lot, but it does to all of us. So I think that is a good size. And I think everybody, like I used to be in a community that was about 2,000 people. And I saw people thrive in there and do really, really well, but that wasn't for me. So knowing what kind of community is good for you or what kind of size community you do well in is a life changer. It really is.
Yeah. So actually one more question about community for somebody who's a corporate refugee who may be at a transition point in their career where they either are just about to leave a corporate job or they've left and they're trying to figure out how to make an independent business work as well as possible. They often need to make some changes in who they interact with and who ends up being part of their community or communities. Yep. Do you have any suggestions about what to ask yourself as you're trying to figure out what kind of community to look for?
That's a great, great question. So I think, yeah, size is definitely one of them. And you might not know this because you haven't tried it out for yourself yet. So, you know, go into a bigger one, go into a smaller one, see how it goes. The smaller ones very often come with a hefty price tags when they are, you know, masterminds, but it can be very, very helpful if it's also something that helps you, you know, figure out your tech stack and all, you know. So it's also like, what are my needs? Are my needs on the technical side? Are my needs on the creative side? Are my needs on the marketing side? And then just maybe find a community around, like, topic-based. And, you know, I mean, I was in several communities that were all women communities until at one point I'm like, hold it. I love working with guys too. Why am I in all women groups, right? And there is an energy about a woman group, that all woman group, that I really, really appreciate. And I'm still in one of them, but not three anymore, right? So, and then also, I don't want to be in a group of all Gen Zers or millennials. I would be totally misplaced there. So, you know, look at the demographic, what makes sense. And then what makes sense geographically. Like, I want to be in a group that is international because, you know, I have lots of clients in Europe. I am European originally. I want that little more of breadth and depth, but maybe you are, you know, a Charlotte, North Carolina girl. All your clients are in that area. You want to be in a group that is, you know, centered around the tennis club, the hiking club, whatever. So those are all your considerations that you want to look at in terms, and then try out. I mean, a lot of these communities are not that much money, or the commitment is only a couple of months at first. So try it out, see how you like it. And look at the founder, look at the person who runs it, because that's probably the tone and the speed and the energy it's going to have.
Right. They set the culture.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's a really important thing to keep in mind.
Yep.
So, Nina, we've covered a lot of territory in a short amount of time. And thank you for providing a great update on your own story and also sharing some really important strategies for LinkedIn.
Yep.
If somebody wants to go deeper with anything you've shared today or access any resources that you have, learn more about you, get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
I mean, the best place is LinkedIn. So I'm the only Nina Foreep there with that kind of name. The nice thing is no one can remember your last name, but once they found you, that's it. So follow me on LinkedIn. I do as I preach or as I teach or as I tell. So you'll see LinkedIn done in action on my profile. And then, of course, my website, clockwiseproductions.com. In the menu, you will find lots of interesting things, but there is a tab called Free Resources. And we have two lovely resources. One is the 5 steps to a perfect LinkedIn post. It's an infographic that I always tell newbies to have handy to not forget all the elements that you need to put in a post for it to be successful. We also have the 9 steps to a near perfect LinkedIn profile. So those are just simple resources that can be very helpful on your journey into LinkedIn or around LinkedIn.
That's great. Well, Nina, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau and share your insights. My guest today has been LinkedIn brand builder, Nina Foreep. Thank you, Nina, for joining us.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me for a second time.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the SMASH framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.